So, three movies came out this week, and I mean this week, I don't mean yesterday, I mean like on Sunday as well as on Thursday yesterday.
Oh, right, so yeah. People could have seen them.
Yeah, people could have seen them already, but anyway.
But anyway.
Anyway, so the three films are Passengers, Edge of 17, and Assassin's Creed. So, we'll just start off with Passengers.
That sounds like two.
That's three.
Passengers, Assassin's Creed.
Edge of 17.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Yeah. Three.
Okay. Three. Okay.
Anyway.
Can't
count. So, Passengers, have you heard about it? Chris Pratt?
Yes.
Jennifer Lawrence? What do you think about them?
Well, I can't really recall much about it, really, but I have heard about it. But you better tell me.
Well, I mean, what do you think of the actors?
Who are the actors?
Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence. Have you seen them in
before? No. They can... I think they need the right... right vehicle, actually.
Mm.
I think
Right
director and that sort of thing. You know, I think director makes a big difference in films these days.
It does. Well, the movie is well directed, and the vehicle in this case is a giant spaceship.
Yeah.
And that's going to take about 90 years to reach its home, like its main destination on another planet.
Oh, where, now I remember.
Yeah, where a bunch of people are going to repopulate the planet and so on. So that's more or less the plot of the film. And then they wake up 90 years too early, so then they have, like, nothing to do. So the plot is just about that, why they woke up so early. And so it works well as a drama-slash-action film. Mm. There's lots of drama, like Martin Sheen's character. He is like, hilarious. It's funny. Like, he's playing a bartender called Arthur, and he gets some of the best lines in the film. Like,
might have been in his contract, was it? The best lines?
Probably. But, like, Chris Pratt's character's trying to talk about morality and mortality and so on, and then the robotic bartender just says, "Are you sure these are robot questions?" Since it's, like, outside of, you know, it's not something that he can really answer. He's got experience to answer, you know? So, yeah, like, the script itself is pretty funny. Unfortunately, the plot, not so much. One thing that they failed to put in the advertisements, and for good reason, is that Chris Pratt's character actually ends up getting woken up early in the spaceship, a year before Jennifer Lawrence's character.
Oh, and then that's no good.
Yeah, and then he's nearly driven mad by being isolated and being stuck with a sarcastic butler. And
no beautiful co-star, too.
Yeah, and no co-star, you know, so to speak. Another human to be with.
To start a population with.
Yeah. Yeah. But so then he decides to... He catches the eye of Jennifer Lawrence in her little hibernation sleeping pod thing, and then instantly falls in love, and that's kind of creepy, and then starts learning everything.
It's Sleeping Beauty all over again, isn't it?
Yeah, but like in this case, it's a different context. In this case, instead of waking up Sleeping Beauty and then going off and being a princess or something, he ends up stranding her in a spaceship, just the two of them, for 90 years. So, it's not quite like Sleeping Beauty.
It's good for intimacy. I think the love priestess, EJ Love, would have thought that there's a lot of opportunities there to improve their relationship.
Yeah, probably. But it does. Yeah, but if it's just the two of them, it ends up turning into Stockholm Syndrome, you know? It's, like, he's basically forced her against her will to wake up.
Oh.
And even though, like, an opportunity arises later, like, she doesn't take it because, like, he's the only guy she's fallen in love with on the ship because he's the only guy on the ship that's still awake.
Oh, well, yeah. And the robot.
Well, yeah, but, you know, like, it's a bit...
Doesn't count.
It doesn't count, yeah. but, like, they could have handled the plot of this plot a lot more sensitively, but they didn't. And that's the thing that, like, just gets me. Like, it ends up coming off as being super creepy and being a bit stalkerish. Like, while she's asleep, before he wakes her up, he finds out everything there is to know about her.
What's wrong with that? That's just research.
Well, yeah, it could be research, or it also could be, like, obsession, you know?
It's all right. Obsession's good. if it's the right sort of obsession.
But like,
anyway, look, but you reckon the plot falls off the rails? The script writers fell asleep or something.
Yeah, like one last thing. Like she is presented as an interesting person. Like she's a novel writer. She loves exploring. But then by the end of the film, she ends up being like another damsel in distress, basically. And then like the derailment of her character just sort of grated me as well. It seemed a bit far-fetched that she goes from a strong, you know, independent character to basically relying on Chris Pratt for basically everything, especially after finding out what Chris Pratt's character did. So I thought that was like just not good at all either.
But the
movie, it could have been a good movie. It works well if it was just like a drama/action movie. But as a romantic film, no, just so absolutely not.
Not a date film.
Not a good date film, basically. Oh, okay,
right. No. The next one isn't a good date film either, is it?
Assassin's Creed. Mm. No, it's not. Nah. I mean,
it's based
on
a bloody video game.
It is. Well, look, it's based on a good video game series. Well,
oh, I know. The quality. Shoot lots of people. Go on.
You don't
tell me
shoot
about
people.
It.
Anyway, some of the good things about the film: good CGI as expected.
Oh, wow.
And it
that's
does
important, isn't it?
Yeah, and it does
forget
remain
about the acting.
I'm going to get to that later, and it does remain consistent with the games, and that's just basically all I can say that's good about the film.
Yeah.
Everything bad about the film: the acting, as you just mentioned, so wooden,
robotic.
Quite
wooden.
Robotic, like
wooden.
literally
not
one
aluminium
wooden.
Or anything.
Yeah. No, not okay. Aluminium, not metal, not just steel wooden. Or anything, just wooden.
Okay.
So, literally, when one of the characters halfway through the film makes a joke, I was like, oh my god, he actually made a joke in front of all these wooden characters who seem to have no expression other than stoicism.
So they didn't. You fall about giving themselves splinters or anything?
No,
you know, after laughing, falling about, you get a few splinters. Anyway,
yeah,
if you're a wooden character.
I get what you mean. But like, there's nothing.
That joke should have been the film.
They should have at least said when he enters.
Listen to me.
They should have at least said when he enters the main setting of the past, which is the Spanish Inquisition.
Ooh.
He should have said, I didn't expect the Spanish Inquisition, you know, like Monty Python. I was expecting bigger laughs there, but no.
Oh, a Monty Python reference would go down well with Assassin's Creed audience, I'm sure.
and like the main part about the video games is that it's like the scenes set in the present are supposed to be like a framing device, when in this case the scene set in the past seemed to be a framing device for the scene set in the present. So, like, they didn't really focus enough on what made the video games appealing to a lot of people.
Oh.
So, like, most of the games are
set. So even the purists, even the Assassin's gamers with their eyes hanging out because they've been on it 36 hours straight, and they go to see this film, they're going to be unsatisfied, aren't they?
Yeah, probably. Mm. I love playing the games, and even I nearly fell asleep halfway through the film.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was really.
So you're an Assassin gamer.
Yes, it Assassin's Creed fan, but no, it just doesn't work either.
Doesn't, okay.
Like
on
that,
any level.
Not so on any level. Like, just
well,
skip,
let's move on to the next one. Skip
just skip those. All just right. Skip those two films, because The Edge of 17 finally
it's
is something.
One.
It's the one. It's the Holy Grail. It's the best film of 2017
is
so
it?
Far.
So far.
So far.
It's not far, is it?
Yeah, it's only like three movies out so far. Anyway, it's great film. It stars Woody Harrelson, Kira Sedgwick, and it like has excellent acting from all of the cast. Like, it's also a drama comedy film, a dramedy, and so it's got excellent writing as well. Like, one of the establishing scenes at the beginning of the film was when the main character meets her future best friend, and then she describes her as, she looks like a small elderly gentleman because she's wearing like this weird fuzzy sweater that I don't like does give off that impression. And I thought, that's brilliant. That's brilliant script writing. Like, the script is amazing. The acting is amazing. And I think it does have a good portrayal of teenage angst without it being over the top, you know, like
teenage angst.
Yeah. It's
Woody
a teenage thing.
No longer a teenager.
Well, he plays a teacher.
Oh, okay.
He can't pass off as a teenager, like, in his cheers years, I suppose.
Blimey.
But the one little criticism I've got about it is that sometimes it does have a bit of an uneven tone. So it can be utterly hilarious in one scene, and then the next scene it goes a bit more serious, which does feel a bit weird. But other than that, like, this movie is easily by a country mile better than the other two.
Right. And it's a dramedy.
Dramedy, yep.
And why can't it be a comedra?
Comedra? I just guess it just sounds weird.
What does everyone say? Does it?
Comedra. Like,
I think it should catch on.
So The Edge of 17 is a comedra. And no,
no, it doesn't work for you.
It doesn't work for me, no.
Thought I'd try it out on you.
Nah,
it's not working for you. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to have to press the big red buzzer and say no.
All right. All right, well, thanks very much, Kevin, for coming in and giving us the lowdown on those three movies.
You're welcome.
1 out of 3 is not bad, is it?
Yeah.
2 out of 3 would be better, but 1 out of 3, we'll just have to put up with it. So thanks, Kevin, for coming in.
You're welcome.